Good morning, good morning. This is Minister Sergio Capsule, residing here in the Bronx, New York. Let us pray. Father God, we humbly thank you for letting us have this beautiful day we deserve. Thank you for waking us one more time, Lord. Thank you for waking us up one more time to be a blessing to someone today. Thank you for saving us and setting us free. We appreciate each new day for providing everything we need. Even more. Thank you for our peace and love. Thank you for just God being God and guiding us in our lives. We love you, Lord. Thank you for the DAS De Leon family and special edition and our 25 years that we celebrated last week. We pray, God, for Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon and Dr. P.K. Roberts for their vision for the last 5 years. We thank you for the speaker that downloaded the information this morning so we can go out and out of the world. We thank you for the TNT family and guests and friends for listening to us today. We want to pray for the sick and shut in. We want to pray for Candy and her family this morning and the bereaving family. Thank you for go by the nursing home this morning, Lord Jesus, and the hospital and touch somebody this morning. God is good. It's good to be good. It's good to do good and go out into the world and share some power to someone today. In the name of Jesus, let everyone say amen, amen. Host, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me, Minister
yes.
Cynthia?
Take it away. God bless you. Have an awesome day.
Thank you. God bless you also.
Thank
good
you.
Morning, TMC family. I am going to say welcome, welcome, welcome to the Master's Call. My name is Minister Robin, and it is an awesome day serving our God. It is our week to celebrate because we are approaching 5 years. This is an awesome call, and it was founded by two wonderful women of God, Dr. P.K. Roberts. She is known as Miss Super Fantastic, and our Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon, our Mother Eagle. We are so glad that you are here with us to celebrate, to hear the word that is going to come forward. And as our mission statement always tells us, we are truly being enriched, enhanced, and empowered believers as we begin our day. We stand on Psalms 88:13, and it reads, "But to you I have cried out, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you," because that's what this call was founded on. That's what this call is all about. And we bring this call to you every Monday through Friday. And we are here 7 to 7:30 Central, 8 to 8:30 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 6:30 Mountain, and 5 to 5:30 Pacific Standard Time. We also have a website for you if you would like to go to our website, find out more about us, listen to the messages, read the bios of the speakers, and even listen to the message right there. Feel free to go to www.themasterscall.net. That is www.themasterscall.net. And also, we have an email address. You can send your prayer request to our email. Send us your testimony, your praise report. Even if you would like to be part of our team, if you would like to be a greeter, a host, bring the word forward, our prayer general, Minister Brenda Terrell, or Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon, they will get back to you. And the email address is info@themasterscall.net. As I mentioned, we are celebrating 5 years, and that will take place October 26, 2010. That's when we started. So we are again so glad that you are here with us. We have a new morning motivational call that's immediately following this call, and that number is 530-881-1300. The PIN code is 539-598-POUND, and that is because of Artists International. And they, too, are celebrating 25 awesome years as a debt-free company sold out to the Lord. And on that same phone number, we have a millionaire call, and that is held Monday through Saturday, 12 noon Central Standard Time, and 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, Monday through Sunday. Well, I'm going to get out of the way right now, and I'll come back and I'll repeat that information, but I am going to share with you about the mighty man of God. He is one of our team members. He is a regular speaker on our call, and his name is Pastor Chuck Brown. Pastor Chuck Brown, the second, as a matter of fact, he has a heart for the world. He's married to the love of his life and his best friend, Marcia Brown, and they are raising two extraordinary children, Charles III and Christina Eve. And in 2004, Pastor Chuck, he founded Kingdom Builders Family Worship Center, and it's in Kenner, Louisiana. And God has truly blessed his ministry. It has grown. It continues to grow by leaps and bounds. And it has a cutting edge. It has a contemporary style of worship designed to win the lost to Christ and also helping believers grow in their faith. Pastor Chuck is an author. He's a singer. He's a songwriter, a music producer, and a businessman. He is truly busy doing great things for the Lord, and he often states that his number one priority in life is making others better. That is what his drive is, and that is what keeps him going. You can hit him up on Facebook to find additional information about him, reach out to him. He would love to hear from you, and he would also be glad if you would share and tell others about what this mighty man of God is doing for the kingdom of God. He truly cares deeply for every member of Kingdom Builders. He is a master administrator, a visionary, and an organizer. And again, his heart is for God's people. So without any further delay, I am going to call forward the awesome man of God. Are you there, Pastor Chuck?
I am. Good morning, Ms. Robin.
Good morning, sir. God bless you. It's all yours.
Bless you, Ms. Cynthia. God bless each of you who are on the line. And we do want to say special congratulations to the founders of this call, Dr. Vanessa, Dr. PK. We all appreciate and love you all so very much for what it is that you do. Your faithfulness to your assignment and not being weary in well-doing, we know that God has a tremendous harvest for you. You know, whenever you're faithful to God, God is always faithful to you, and we bless and honor you on this week. Genesis chapter 32 is where I want to go. Genesis 32, in verse 22, reading out of the New Living Translation, states, "During the night, Jacob got up and took his two servant wives and his 11 sons and crossed the Jabbok River with them. After taking them to the other side, he sent over all his possessions. This left Jacob all alone in the camp. And a man came and wrestled with him until the dawn began to break. And when the man saw he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of its socket. Then the man said, 'Let me go, for the dawn is breaking.' Jacob said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' 'What is your name?' the man asked. He replied, 'Jacob.' 'Your name will no longer be Jacob,' the man told him. 'From now on, you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with men and have won.' 'Please tell me your name,' Jacob said. 'Why do you want to know my name?' the man replied. Then he blessed Jacob there. Jacob named the place Peniel, which means face of God, for he said, 'I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been spared.' And the sun was rising as Jacob left." I just really prayed about and struggled with what the minister on today and tomorrow. And I thought about the series that we were in, and I just really felt the Lord asking me, just telling me to continue right there with this shift series, get ready for the shift. And there's something else I want to minister on tomorrow that I believe will be an encouragement to those who are faithful members of this call. This series is learning how to, it's teaching us how to shift our seasons by shifting our efforts and shift our seasons shifting our thinking and our speaking and the way that we strategize. God is waiting on you to shift from where you've been to a new place where you can move farther, faster. And one often overlooked area of shifting is learning to re-identify yourself. In other words, shifting who you've been up to this point. Whenever it's time for you to go to another level, it's important that it's imperative that you shift who you are. People often say things that seem to make sense in the moment, but in the long run, it's really insane. For example, people will say, yeah, she changed when she got that money. She changed, you know, she got all that money, and now she acting different. Well, let me tell you something. You better change when you get money, because if you enter a new season without changing who you are, then your new habits, your habits and your efforts will bring you back to the season you just left. And so it's important that we change how we're viewed and change how we, the perspective that people have about us and the opinion that they have, you know, regarding us. We have to change that. So I want to minister this morning on shifting your identity. Shift your identity. Shift your identity. If you're going to shift your identity, then you have to allow God to redefine who you are and who you've been. There were two lessons. You probably heard me share this a lot on the call because it's something that impacted me for the rest of my life. While I was attending Morehouse, two lessons stuck with me. The first lesson was to be early is to be on time. To be on time is to be late, and to be late is unacceptable. And, you know, that's anyone who knows me is they understand that I strive my best to be timely with everything. But the second lesson impacted me in a different way. It was this is what it said, he who has the power to define rules the world. He who has the power to define rules the world. If you're sitting down right now, you're sitting on a chair, and the reason why you call it a chair is because someone defined that particular piece of furniture as a chair. You accepted that definition, which actually gave whoever called it a chair had the power. He had power, he or she had power enough for us to say, okay, well, we're going to accept what you call it, and we're going to call it what you called it. I'm on a phone right now. Somebody said that this is a phone, and we accepted that was a phone. The fact is, whenever we accept a definition of a person, place, thing, or event, we have given the original definer power over us. And I know that sounds extreme right now, but when it comes to who you are, how you are defined is of the utmost importance. And the first definition we hear of who we are usually actually contributes to our identification. Think about it. It comes from our family and our peers and society. As you're growing up, you're looking, you're in a household, people will call this one the smart one, this one the dumb one, this one the fast one, this one the slow one, this one the successful one, this the one who's always messing up. The definitions come in school. Teachers will inevitably define you, and your classmates and even your haters will place labels on you in terms of, because they see us and they judge us, and then we are identified by their judgment. But if you're going to shift, you can't do so without shifting your identity. After all, first gear is different from second gear, which is different from third gear, and so forth. Who you are this season has to be different from who you were last season. I encourage you to shift your identity. I've got just a few principles I want to leave with you. Hopefully, it'll be a blessing to your life. Number one, who you truly are won't stay hidden forever. Who you truly are won't stay hidden forever. If we're honest, inside each and every one of us, talking about believers in Christ, lies the person who serves as our public persona, and the other joker who we want to stay hidden, the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde of our lives. I call it the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde syndrome. Dr. Jekyll was the public persona. He was who everyone saw at church and who everyone saw at work. But hiding deep within him was another person, Dr. Hyde. You know, and of course it's spelled H-Y-D-E, but it was no coincidence that his name was Hyde, because this other person hides within us. In our text, we find almost the conclusion of a story, actually the climax of a story that began years before when Isaac and Rebecca wanted children, but she had been barren for years. She was unable to produce kids. Her husband Isaac prays for her, and in verse 21, the Lord answered his prayer. And God always deals with me when I read that scripture, because whenever you're going through a barren period, you need to pray so that the Lord can cause you to produce again. It doesn't matter how hard the season has been. It doesn't matter if you're going through a dry spell. Lord, I need you to open up my womb so that I can produce again. So Rebecca finds out that she's pregnant with twins. And while she was going through the various pregnancy cycles, she felt two fetuses within her at war. Now, this shows and signifies that within all of us, spiritually speaking, there's a battle. Here you are happy about answered prayers, but you have to deal with an internal struggle. I'm telling everybody here, as much as I love to talk about praise and others do, but it's hard to praise externally while you're frustrated internally. It's hard to pray, to really get on your knees and lie before the Lord when you're going through your own struggle with sin. It's hard for those who are married to engage in intimate situations with your spouse when you secretly despise that person. Inside of Rebecca was a war that she could not control, but after the nine-month period, she had to give birth to it. Whatever it is that's in you is going to eventually have to come up out of you. You can hide that struggle for only so long. You can hide that addiction for only so long, and the malice and the spite and the hatred and the jealousy is only going to remain hidden for so long. Eventually what's in you is going to come up out of you. And the struggle that's occurring within you is going to come out of you because you're going to have to face what your struggle is. It's not just going to go away. God is not going to just let it disappear. It's going to come out, and you need to be ready to confront the struggle. That's why we know you by your fruit, because the fruit of a tree is what has been produced by the tree. It is what the tree represents. It's what the tree actually is. And you can only expect the tree to produce what it is. It's going to come out eventually. Okay, number two. Just because they called you that doesn't mean you have to be that. Just because they called you that doesn't mean you have to be that. In verses 24 through 26, I won't read it, but you can. It describes the twins that came out of Rebecca. One was named Esau, one was named Jacob. The name Esau meant hairy one, and Jacob meant deceiver or trickster. But you can't allow other people to define who or what you are. In Jacob's defense, he was not responsible for the label that was placed on him by his parents. And let's keep it real. Some of us had been unfairly labeled since we were kids. We've been called stupid. We've been called lazy. We've been told we'll never be nothing. We've been almost prophesied that we won't succeed, or we'll be just like our father or our mother, people who we really don't want to be like. But in order for God to change and shift you, you're gonna have to let go of old identities. Don't let labels that people have called you, don't hold on to that stuff. I don't care how long they've been doing it. You have to be careful of accepting people's labels and definitions of you. Remember what I shared at the beginning of this lesson from Morehouse, that he who has the power to define rules the world. If I can tell you what to believe about yourself, then I have power over you. And when you look at a lot of the domestic violence situations, it always usually begins with someone trying to alleviate that, trying to give that control over a person by stating, you know, you're this, you're that, you're worthless, I shouldn't have been with you, all of that kind of stuff. But trying to have a sense of control over an individual, and if they can have that control, then they have power over them. They can tell them how to feel. They know what buttons to push to get elicit a certain response. Jacob's problem, though, wasn't just that he accepted the negative identity. He acted it out. Jacob's brother Esau was a hunter. He was a fieldsman. He got his hands dirty. Jacob was more of a homebody who could, I guess he could obviously cook. He wasn't the outdoor person, but rather stayed inside. And as we read, when you read these verses, you'll see that Jacob wasn't just defined as a deceiver or a trickster, but watch this. He actually became what they called him, and he began to demonstrate it by tricking his brother out of his birthright. I remember sharing with the men, because when I was growing up as a young man, we would say stuff like, you know, what's up, player? What's up, pimp? What's up, dog? And the issue is not them calling me that. The problem arises because my actions were responsive to their labels by lining up with them. In other words, you can call me a player all you want, but if I'm really going to shift my identity, I can't be a player. I'm really not a player until I start acting like one. You can call me dog all you want, but I'm not a dog until I start barking like one. But the next logical step after acceptance is action. And I'm telling you this morning that if you want to be a man or woman of faith, you must refuse to act out who others think you are. My father would always tell me and my siblings, people are going to say what they want about you. Just don't let what they say be true. Remember, Jacob was born with this label. He was born with this definition. Generational curses, I don't know why the church doesn't believe in this, but they're still real. Generational sins are still real. It is true that certain cycles will be repeated through a family's bloodline, watch this, until someone breaks the cycle. And you've got to get to the place where you openly renounce what's in your bloodline. Because until you do so, you will continually act out wrong definitions. When we look around in our schools, we see children acting out wrong definitions. We see it at the playground. We see it in the workforce. We see it in the church. We see it on the streets. Don't act out what people called you. Just because they called you that doesn't mean that's who you are. I'm who God called me. I'm not what you all say about me. I don't care what a bio says. I don't care what, you know, because people will rewrite your bio for you. They will rewrite it to fit their definition of you and their label of you. But I'm who God says I am. Number three, and this is very important, your identity changes in isolation. Your identity changes or shifts in isolation. You're going to have to be isolated when God shifts you. This is so nobody can interfere with the process that you're dealing with in your life. Jacob had to send his wife and his children and all of his servants away before God would even confront him and operate on him. I don't know a whole lot about surgery because I've never truly been operated on, but I do know this much. When the surgeon is ready to conduct surgery, he puts everybody out that can't work on the patient. The spouse is placed in the waiting room. The parents are in the waiting room. The children are in the waiting room. The friends are in the waiting room. They have to wait to see the change that is happening. And I have to constantly tell folk this. I'm not acting funny with you. I'm just, God is working on me. I just need you to chill in the waiting room, because who you saw before, you're not going to ever see again. There is a change that's taking place, but first God has to get me by myself. I know you care about me, but when God has to cut on me, you're going to panic and stop. Come on, think about it. Every parent, we wouldn't want to see the doctors cutting open our children because we couldn't handle it. We couldn't handle seeing everything that they have to do in order to get things right in their body. And because we love them, if we see them opening up the chest out of our concern, we'll make matters worse. The moment we see all of the blood that has to be spilled, we'll out of concern try to stop the doctor from continuing with what he or she is doing. But what God has to do in me is something you can't handle seeing, because you don't know all that's going on inside of me. The reason why God isolates us is because the truth is we don't always allow the real person to surface when others are around. Mm-hmm, no, so we don't cuss around other Christians. We don't drink around other people who are believers. The real me will continue to hide if I have y'all around me. So I need to get by myself so that it can be me and God. Think about it. When you go to surgery or you go to the hospital, they give you a gown because they need you to take off and strip off all of those things that you use to hide yourself. And I mean, properly so, hide yourself from other people who can't handle seeing what you really look like on the inside. And so God, hallelujah, is saying that I'm going to isolate you because I need you to go ahead and take off all of the masks and the costumes you've been wearing and all this strength that you claim to have, but you're really weak on the inside, this joy that you act like you have, but you're really depressed on the inside. I'm going to have to isolate you and put you by yourself so you can strip off all of these weights. Throw them away, and I can now put you in a position where I can truly work on you. But if I continue to hide from him, I can never be delivered. I have to get to a place where my title doesn't matter, where my position doesn't matter, my status doesn't matter. I need to go somewhere where I can just be Chuck, not Pastor Chuck. But, and God, if it means putting me alone, I'm fine with it. I just need you to shift who I am. And then finally, The biggest thing in this is, while God is trying to shift you, number four, stop fighting the shift. Stop fighting the shift. The biggest problem God has with us is the struggle within. Think about it. No major change in your life has ever come without an internal revolution. The old you is fighting the new you. The old you is trying to hold on to what has always been. It's holding on to old habits. It's holding on to old addictions. It's holding on to old ways of saying things and old ways of reacting. The scripture that says, you know, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things pass away, behold, all things have become new. It doesn't mean to imply that the old man goes away without a fight. Oh, no, baby. He is going to continually agonize you until you revert to the old nature. She is going to continue to nag until you reverse the progress you've made. And that's where Jacob is. He's by himself. He's had to have a face-to-face confrontation with his old identity. And he's looking at who he was and decided that he no longer wanted to be that individual. So God sends down, watch this, the catalyst for change that Jacob needed for this shift to take place. There are times when God knows that we aren't strong enough to make the internal change we need to make. So he sends us people, he sends us opportunities and moments that can help us along. Here's the thing. God didn't send the angel down to fight with Jacob. He sent the angel down to help Jacob shift. But what does Jacob do? He fights the change. He fights the shift. God hears us when we say we want to shift, but when he sends the people and opportunities and moments to help our lives, to help our lives to execute the shift, we start fighting it. We're fighting because we don't know if people will mess over us if we love them like Christ told us to. We're depressed because we don't know if the new us can handle these old challenges. We're bitter because we don't know if the new us can be at peace with those who cause us pain. So we keep fighting the shift. Here's God trying to change me, and I'm struggling with him. He's trying to get me to pray, and I'm struggling with it. He's trying to get me to worship, and I'm struggling with it. He's trying to get us to be faithful, and I'm struggling with it. He's trying to get us to let go and heal us and make us whole, but we're fighting it. The moment you stop fighting the shift is the moment God can change who you are. Notice that the angel didn't change Jacob's name until Jacob stopped struggling. When you stop struggling, you can shift. God won't shift you until you stop fighting who he's called you to be. And with that, my time is up. I pray that this has blessed your life. I hope that it's in some kind of way touched you. And I want to turn it back over to Minister Robin. God bless you. We love you.
Praise God, praise God. Awesome, awesome words. Thank you so much, Pastor Chuck. I will be calling you back after we go before the Lord in prayer and our announcement. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for loving us, that you always, always bring someone who can bring a word to us to encourage us, to love on us, to teach us, and show us what we need to do. So we just honor you, and we extol your greatness because of that. And Father, bless the man of God. Bless him and his family, Father. We thank you that there's not one thing missing in Pastor Chuck's life, Father. He is filled to overflowing with your knowledge and your wisdom, Father God. Continue to give him revelation, knowledge of your word as he continues to teach us, Lord God. And we thank you, Father, that you provide every single need that he needs according to your riches and your glory by and through Christ Jesus. Bless our founders of this call, and we thank you, Father, for their faithfulness to you. Thank you for the master's call. Thank you for Dr. P.K. Roberts. Thank you for Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon. And thank you for this family that we all have and we love. And, Lord, I lift up Executive President Candy Mosley to you and Jeanette Hightower and their family members and all of those who have lost loved ones, who have transitioned home to be with you, Lord. We know that they are hurting, and we know that you are not ignoring their need. You've told us, Lord, that weeping, it will tarry. We know that. Only for a night, only for a season. But glory to God, joy will come in the morning. So, Father, thank you for being their refuge. Thank you for being their strength. Thank you for being a very present help in time of trouble. Thank you for being Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. And, Father, we just thank you that as you continue to be the great I am as your word continues to flow through us, Lord God. We know that you are healing the brokenhearted. We know that you are binding up their wounds. We know, Lord Jesus, that you are the healer. You are the deliverer. You are their rock. You are our fortress. You are our deliverer. You are their refuge. You will ensure that they will be able to continue on. You will not give any of us any more than we can bear. You are our peace and our comforter. You are our shield. You are our stronghold and our horn of salvation. So glory be to you in the highest, in the name of Jesus. Well, family members, you can listen to this message immediately following the call by dialing 712-432-1085. PIN code 957-677#. And if you can't listen to it immediately following, go back to the website and you can download it or listen to it right there at www.themasterscall.net. Don't forget, we also have our new morning motivational call immediately following this call at 530-881-1300, PIN code 539-598#. Artist is celebrating 25 years. We're celebrating 5 years, October 25th, and this is our celebration week. Glory to God. Pastor Chuck will be with us again tomorrow. So please make sure you join us and you can continue to hear Thus Saith the Lord through this mighty man of God. Pastor Chuck, will you please come forward and close this awesome word for us today?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. God, we're grateful for 5 years of service and 5 years of ministry, of countless times of ministering to God's people, and for every word of faith that was delivered, every scripture, every message that was there to change the lives of your children. God, we're grateful that this is just the beginning for everyone who's a part of this movement. And I'm grateful, oh God, that this will be the best day of our lives, that you will keep us safe, and that you will cover us with your grace and your love. And we give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen.